Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
God's presence is on me to do this. It's anointing. We love it. We're addicted to it. We can't get enough. And so there's something that happens when you have anointing and you have calling. There's opposition that comes against your anointing to stop you from what God has called you to do and who he's called you to become. Last week we talked about Nehemiah. We talked about the way that God, you know, called different leaders and Bible heroes into different roles for such a time as this. And he put anointing on them, a special endowment of his presence to complete something, to do something. It's on you too. Don't think he saved everything for Moses and used it all up on David and Elijah got the rest. It wasn't like that. It's for you too. Because it's God, it's sustained and it lasts forever. It's on you even now. So when anointing comes like that, opposition is obviously going to come. Remember Nehemiah is building a wall. He had a special anointing to do it. To go back and rebuild broken down places so that the people would feel vital and sustained and safe. They wouldn't be vulnerable against attack. Some of us, God's given us that spirit of Nehemiah. We rebuild things. We go in and we cause structure to have backbone. We just, by our presence there, something happens and someone is sustained and able to become capable to lead a life they probably wouldn't have done if your life hadn't intersected with their life and the anointing that you carry. Tracking with me this morning? There's opposition to anointing. Remember those guys, the other governors? They didn't want Nehemiah to build a wall because that would block them from having access to plunder everything. It would block them from straight path through their city for goods to the ocean and all this stuff. Sanballat was one of the guys. Tobias, I think, is another guy, something like that. And those guys heckled, and then they tried to kill because they couldn't criticize them or heckle them to death. They plan to kill him. Anointing opposition. Of course they didn't do it because anointing! Anointing is bigger than anointing opposition. Way bigger. You have to check into it though. And I believe this with all my heart, this stuff. And I'm walking in this with all my heart right now. If anybody that ever walked the planet faced anointing opposition, it was Jesus. How many believe Jesus was anointed? Yeah. Carrying the presence of God. Everyone should have your hand up. That wasn't a trick. Jesus was anointed to carry God's presence for the cross. And he faced just incredible, horrible tension and opposition to do it. If you remember, he didn't come in. He came in kind of low. He made, you know, wine out of water at a wedding where people were already pretty toasty. He did it. I'm just saying, talk to him about it. That was his first miracle. He came in kind of like on the DL. But I imagine times before that, as a kid, imagine Jesus anointed. Imagine him finding like a little dove or a butterfly and it died on the road. Imagine him just, I could see him doing that his whole life. You know, just figuring out a way to have the presence of God on him and moving through him while he's, you know, still restrained until the day of the calling. Remember when he went into the temple and he spoke the words that Isaiah the prophet wrote about, which we read last week, and we're going to read it again. And I'm going to make this statement again. When you hear the word me in this, Isaiah wrote it a long time ago, thinking about Jesus, prophesying about his presence. One is going to come that has this anointing on him. And then Jesus, in the day that he's going to go in and read in the scrolls, opens the scroll to this very place, and then Jesus reads it, and it's about himself. And at the end of this, he makes a statement that says, hey, today, while you're listening, I'm the guy. Okay, listen for the word. Jesus is unapologetically dope. He just is. So I want you to listen for his words and how he comes in. You know, he just comes in hot. Just comes in with the strong word. And when we say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Think about Jesus speaking about himself. And read it in your mind with me. And when it says me, think of yourself. The Spirit of the Lord is on you, Hunter. The Spirit of the Lord is on you, Christy. He has anointed you, Donna. Appointed you to preach the gospel, Drew. To open prison doors. See what I'm saying? Let this become something that resonates and becomes part of you as I read it. You guys lean in. It's from Luke. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, no, this is good news, Bo. This is good news. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus does come on strong. He doesn't mince words. Look at this in John 8. John 8, I'm going to read this to you. Jesus is talking. He's having his conversations. He said, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? The Jews say this to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm just jumping in the middle of a conversation. Look, you go read all this for your own self. You go test the scriptures. You let the Lord make revelation to your heart and spirit. I'm giving you the pieces to preach this anointing opposition message. Does that make sense? So the Jews say, are we not right in saying that you're a Samaritan, you have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. I honor my Father. You dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he's the judge. Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. The Jews said, well, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than the father Abraham who died? The prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus, so patient. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you've not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and saw it, and was glad. And the Jews said, you're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham? And Jesus said, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He's the one. He's the only one. You know those goosebumps you feel right there? That chill that went up your spine? It's the Lord speaking to the room. Hello, look at me. We're on a mission. I'm coming. Clean it up. Make it work. Surrender all. Come in close. I got you. I'm the one. There's a scene in The Chosen where I've been picking little clips. Ladies, get ready because we're going to have some clips from The Chosen at the ladies' advance. Not this one I'm going to tell you about, but there's one where they're in Jesus' face like this. This guy plays such a good Jesus. I mean, imagine the real Jesus. Oh my gosh. It's going to be so amazing to see him face to face. There's a place where the Pharisees are challenging him, and he goes, would you come against the law of Moses? And in the most epic way, just like this, Jesus leans in and he goes, I am the law of Moses. Yes. Another place, he's meeting Martha at the gate. Martha won't let him come in to eat supper today because her brother died. Lord, if you would have been here, it's okay. He's going to raise. Yes, Lord, I know. He's going to raise at the resurrection. Wait a minute. I am the resurrection. Jesus talks like this. This is our king. He's not weak. He's not wimpy and pale. He's not a white guy carrying a little lamb who's anorexic. This guy has white hair. and eyes like fire. And when he speaks, it's like water rushing out. This is Jesus anointed on a mission from the Heavenly Father to come to earth to restore us back to a relationship with him. Yeah. And he just nailed it. He just did it with epic proportions. And he's got his friends all around him. I mean, he got opposition from the guys. They're always tired. They're always saying the wrong thing. Even when he sits with them and he's saying things to them like, who do you guys say that I am? And Peter has this beautiful moment. He's like, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And the guys are like, wow. And Jesus is like, wow, Peter, I'm going to name you Rock from now on. Petra, you're going to be a rock from now on, Peter. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Father in heaven revealed that to you. And Peter's like, yeah, he sure did. Because now I know that. Because a couple seconds later, when Jesus starts to reveal to them what's getting ready to happen, Peter's like, hey, Lord, come here. That's not going to happen to you. We will fight for you and we will stop it. And Jesus gives him another word. Yeah, you might have had a revelation on who I am, but get behind me, devil, because I'm going to do what God called me to do.
Right.
Anointing opposition. See, that doesn't feel as good when it gets personal. When we fail and we don't see what we're supposed to see. He tells Peter, you're thinking like a man, but I'm talking about the plans of God.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation, in my opinion, the hardest part, well, the two hard parts, but there's a place where he's at the Garden of Gethsemane and he's just sweating it, you know. It's getting ready to happen. He goes before God. He asks his friends to pray, but I mean, they're tired. They fall asleep. And Jesus has a moment where he's sweating, but it's like blood coming out of him. He's so intense. The opposition of that cross and how difficult that was going to be was on him. But his anointing was stronger, and he makes the statement, if we could do another thing, if there's another way. So he's lived in this world. He knows what it feels like to stub your toe. He's well aware of what this is going to feel like. It's going to be excruciating. And he says, through drops of blood. You know, the things that we go through and we get so bent and so messed up about things that aren't going in the direction that we think they should go. And we sin and we fall and we fail. And we're like, well, God can't use me now. I messed that up. You know, it's over. All the things we look at, we think they're so astronomical. And Jesus is sweating blood at the prospect of what he's getting ready to do. And it will be a brutal death. But you know what will happen is there will be a transaction that takes place. For every sin, every committed, will be exchanged with this blood. And all of you and all of me and all of mankind who believes it will go free.
Yeah.
It's epic in proportion. We can barely grasp the idea. But the point is anointing opposition. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, who is still writing, the author and finisher of our faith. TJ, he's still writing. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand, the throne of the Father. One of the most crucial things we can learn from Jesus, and I hope we hear it today, is that Jesus faced opposition from Satan himself. I know you guys, I don't know, if you go to this church, you probably believe in heaven and hell. You believe there are angels and demons. You believe there are principalities, rulers of darkness. There are governors over spiritual places in this city, in this world. We try to clean this building the best we can to make it just a blank slate for the Holy Spirit to come in here and do work. We try to do it every week. We do it every week. You bring all that crusty stuff back in here, I got to clean it up again. But the Lord knows us, you know. He's with us. And so when the enemy comes at you, it probably isn't the devil himself. It's some little minion, some little cohort that he has. Pride or lust or greed. Jesus is dealing with Satan himself. on our behalf. And he's teaching us a couple of lessons. It says they went away to this mountain place to be tempted of the devil. It was intentional. You get that? It was intentional so that the Lord could understand what you were going to go through and tell you you can overcome.
Yeah.
And the opposition to your anointing will fall in Jesus' name, because he will do it. We have to learn to walk in victory, church. Where is that scripture? Did I have all this stuff about Jesus going on the mountain? Where's it at? Duh. Okay. Matthew 4. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Man, I can barely fast for 4 days. 40 days, 40 nights. And he was hungry, I guess. I guess so. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, gosh, I just really hate the devil. I really do. Where's your God? If he really was for you, if he really did miracles, if he was really a provider, if he really cared, he's such a liar, the father of lies. Those people don't care about you. He just manipulates stuff all the time and makes stuff up all the time. If you're really the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Man, I gotta tell you, if that was me, as much as I like those Texas Roadhouse rolls with that honey butter, a big French baguette at Bread Companies, and put all that butter, I mean, like, it's an equal ratio of butter and bread for me. I don't know what I would have said if I could do it. Jesus answered this. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's not so much, I mean, it is what he said, which scripture he quoted, but what he's saying is, it is written. That needs to become something that you say. Can you say it out loud with me? It is written. It is written. And let it be something that flows off your tongue when you feel down or depressed or discouraged or broken. It is written that I am a joy and a delight in the presence of the Lord who made me. It is written that he sings songs over me. He rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over us with joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It is written. So I don't live by what it looks like. I don't live by sight. I live by faith in the God who loves me and gave himself for me and spoke words over me to help me overcome anointing opposition. Me and you, Drew. Me and you. Then the devil took him up. He's not even finished. Into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle, the highest place of the temple, and he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Kill yourself. How many times did the enemy say in your ear, just kill yourself? It'll be easier. What a liar! It would not be easier for anyone who loves you and is attached to you. And it wouldn't be easier for you. You'd never know the victory on the other side of the battle. It's so close. Throw yourself down. For it is written, the enemy starts to use his trick. He'll give his angels charge over you. In their hands, they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, it is written again. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And I think, man, can you imagine? You're sitting there and you're Jesus. I mean, I've been to Colorado. It's the most beautiful mountains. That's the only mountains I've ever really been in. Tennessee. I've been in Tennessee mountains too. We got gotten out on some of the ledges until we heard a mountain lion, ran back to our car. But you know, it's like we got out there and we're looking at the beauty of just the divide. What's it called? The Great Divide. Is that what it's called? What is it? The Continental Divide. Because you're good looking and smart. So you got the whole thing. That's my husband. But looking over this beautiful rocky range, if you could imagine Jesus in this spot, and then imagine every time he wins, it's like, ah, and a choir of angels, you know? Good job. Look at us overcome. Watch us overcome. My weapon is a melody. Watch me. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I go to war. I just keep singing songs. It is written, he is for me. It is written like the lamb pants for water, the deer pants for water. My soul is thirsty for God. He's for me. He's not against me. Again, the devil takes him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. I just want to say that the sin of Satan is self. The sin of Lucifer is self. Just worship me, not God. This is about me. Every time we get up here and sing songs, we really come against any kind of diva spirit. You know, why can't you hear me? Turn me up. I'm not as loud as Jesse. We've got to figure it out. Get over ourselves. It's the sin of Satan. Worship me. Look at me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. And the devil left him, and then angels came and ministered to him. Oh, well done, Jesus. And he goes down the mountain. He starts doing crazy stuff, like getting demons out of people that no one else can get out. Kind of only come out by prayer and fasting and a lot of testing of the enemy and a lot of overcoming. Are you tracking with me this morning, church?
Yes.
I'm going to end this a little sooner. I want you to take those few minutes with those little handout sheets after we finish and talk about what is in your mind and heart that you can take away today. So this is retained and not just some fleeting thought from some wonderful message that you're getting. But it will be something that you retain that becomes part of your DNA spiritually. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you how I'm facing this myself. There's a thing that happens when stuff is hard for a long time, and we start to feel like weak. And I'm like that right now. I just every once in a while I'll get up here and I'll be like, hey church, look at me. Can I just tell you that I'm sorry if I was too strong, if I came off too harsh, if I didn't respond quick enough or I didn't say the right thing, I'm sorry. And I'll do that on purpose. And, you know, and I do have people in my life that will tell me, hey, you're the pastor, I hate to inform you, but you gotta go do it. And it's okay, because I receive that readily. But there are times in life, for me, for every person, where the work and the hits and the hard places come so fast and so furiously that we can't even hardly be pleasant. And we take it out on the people that are the closest to us. And I'm not saying that I'm just going to walk out of here and do this perfectly, but what I try to do is I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to sin against the Holy Spirit. I want him to be allowed to move in me and to speak through me and to love people. It's my anointing. And the opposition to it is to get me so distracted in the things that are hard that I start to have an edge myself. Listen to this scripture. It's in Ephesians. It says, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give a place to the devil. Let him who stole your peace, your voice, your presence, your ability, your anointing, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How many got that one down? All the liars raised their hand. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Man, this stuff pierces me because corruption comes out of me all the time. Yeah. And I have to go back before the Lord in repentance, and I'm working through this now. So you can read all this stuff. Look, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is necessary for what? Edification, building up people, that it might impart grace to the hearer. Do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, aggressively, get off of me, corrupt mouth. Stop cussing. That's impossible. It's not, though. With God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Preaching to myself. All bitterness, all wrath, all anger. Be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay, so I'm at home, you know, and I can tell, man. You know, I have this thing I'll say, because I've been a Christian a long time. I'll look around and I'll be like, hey, don't forget to remind your face that you're saved. And everybody thinks that's so funny. But do you know people will leave a church because of a face that forgot it was saved. No condemnation. Everybody's going through something hard. People deal with anxiety, depression, broken things. We don't know. I come in here, I was telling Carrie this morning, I come in here to get a word of the Lord and then to minister. I don't come in here so everybody can say how great I am, which nobody ever does anyway. But I mean, what if I did? What if that's what I came in here for? What if I came in here so everybody would tell me how great? Good job, Pastor. That was a great word. I don't come in here for that. I come in here to serve you, to minister to you, to speak life to you, to worship God, to get a word of the Lord for my life. And everyone who calls himself a Christian and a follower of Jesus should have that same posture.
Yeah,
don't come in here waiting for somebody to minister to you. Come in here with a word of the Lord to minister, right?
Yes.
I know it's a different thought. You think you gotta be broke down, come in church, get all pumped up again like a tire with a slow leak. Come in here with the word of the Lord, part of the body of Christ. One gives a word, one gives an interpretation, one sings a song, one prays, one gives a message. Love you guys.
Hey.
You feel that edge? It's right there. And so I've been going before the Lord. I said to my husband this, well, of course, because he gets the brunt of it, but, you know, he's strong. He take it. So I'm like, I can tell in my countenance that the fight is real. There's an anointing opposition, you know. So I was in my little quiet place telling the Lord all my woes. And I felt like, you know, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit with my presence or my prayers. And I was like, I'm going to do the confession of my faith, old school. I'm going to make my affirmations right now. I'm going to say, it is written. What is written about me? And I started with the phrase, I am a joy and a delight. And I guarantee you I was not when I said it. But like my Father who speaks and creates, I can too. And I can create a world and a surrounding about myself that I want to walk in and live in. And I did. And I sat there, man, I was like, I'm adored. I'm your favorite. I'm anointed. I'm appointed by God to carry his presence. I have favor all around me like a shield. People like me, God likes me. What does the scripture say? I'm paraphrasing because I know what the scripture says. And I sat there and made a little list about myself. I'm prophetic. I have the utterance of the Holy Spirit. It's a good life. I got a good life. I have people around me that love me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. The Lord has exchanged all of my mourning for joy. All of the ashes for beauty.
Yeah.
He has given me a crown to wear. I'm his daughter. I started saying stuff like this. And then I started texting. I text Scott. I'm like, hey, I'm over here working on my pleasantness. Here's what I got. And I sent him a text. And you are the man of God that is my man. And everything you do today shall prosper according to the word of God. Because the Lord wishes above all things that I, his servant, would prosper and be in good health. As my soul prospers. Now, if my soul's over here dying and depleted, I'm probably not going to have good health and I'm probably not going to have any wealth. But as my soul is prospering and I'm making declarations over my life again, and I'm opposing the opposition that is opposing me, and I'm casting down strongholds and vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the Lord, and I'm taking thoughts captive, and I'm starting to rise. I did better, didn't I? For about 4 hours. And then life came again. I'm like, oh, I'm a joy and a delight. Ooh. Oh, Jesus. And I go back and I did it again. And I went in my little bathroom and I said it to myself again. and I'm sustained, right, for another few hours. This stuff is real. The enemy hates your guts, hates you, wants you to fail, loves sin, loves brokenness, loves depleted energy, loves a bank account drain. That's his deal. Well, then God, and then he accuses us, and he accuses God. But God is for us,
always.
And he will sustain us to take down anointing opposition till his kingdom comes. You guys can stand up with me.
Yeah.
I got to preach on me today.
Good preach.
What is opposing you today, church? What is your anointing opposition? Christian, you can hand those out. Just putting those little things out for you. Don't look at it yet. One more thought. What is opposing you? Ask the Holy Spirit that you can bring it down. You can bring it down in the name of Jesus. There's a couple scriptures, you know, where you have to open your mouth. It's not enough. If you're sitting in a negative situation at home or wherever you are, and it's just negative, negative, and hurled, and everything is just hard. And it's like there are people in the world that are negative, but you're a minister of reconciliation, so of course you're going to encounter people. And there are people that doesn't matter how much positive you put out, they're gonna badmint it right back to you, bonk, negative. And you got to go, bonk, positive, I'm out. You know, and you got to remove yourself after so long of a time. Do you hear what I'm saying? But you have to speak, because just sitting quiet, it still gets on your soul.
That's right.
You have to speak in a way that is uplifting, edifying, but it's truth. Stop lying. Here's a scripture. I don't know if you ever heard this before. Habakkuk 2 says, hey, my righteous one, all of you, you will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Here's another one. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. No, it doesn't mean you're a jerk. It means you speak truth in love. You get me? You feel me? Yeah, just lift your hands if you want to receive some of them and pray for you. I pray in the name of Jesus for an anointing of boldness to come, that we are able to oppose that which opposes us. We're just receiving it. We receive your endowment of anointing this morning to break strongholds, God, to correct things that are wrong, and to not be afraid. We will not be the ones that shrink back in fear and you not be pleased with us. We will speak forward in love, and we will defend that which you've given us to defend, Lord, by your might, not by our might, by your power, not by ours, by your strength, not by our strength, because you have anointed us to proclaim liberty and to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Love you, church. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.